In February of 1931, there was a little Polish nun who was minding her own business, doing nun stuff in the convent, and all of a sudden she had this vision of Jesus, and he told her that he had selected her to be an apostle of mercy. He revealed himself as the King of Divine Mercy. He told her he had a special mission for her, that she was to spread this message of divine mercy throughout the world, that she was to be this instrument, this mouthpiece of his mercy. She didn't particularly like the idea. She just wanted to do whatever nun stuff she was doing. But when Jesus shows up and tells you he's got a special plan for you, you pretty much have to do it. So she somewhat reluctantly became this apostle of mercy. And she continued over the next several years to have these revelations or these visions of Jesus, where he kept stressing the importance of his mercy. And really, these revelations, and actually, if you see any of the revelations or appearances of Jesus or Mary or something, it's almost always in response to something that's been going on in the church, a big event that's happening, a world war or whatever it might happen to be, a heresy that's going on or some sort of distress. The image of the divine mercy, the revelation of Jesus as the merciful Lord, is no exception. And it's in response to this kind of a Jansenist heresy. Jansenism is the heresy. It's the thought that God is a vengeful God, that he's out for strict justice, he's out for blood, and he's just waiting for us to mess up. And so the only way we can please God is by trying really, 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 really hard to do all the right stuff. And as long as we don't mess up, then God will love us. Pretty much Jesus got sick of that. And he wanted to do something about it. And so he came, he showed up to this little Polish nun in a cloistered convent, hidden from the world, and revealed himself as the God of mercy. Once again, it's not a new revelation. This is nothing brand new. But it's a re-emphasis of the mercy of God. And he gave her a specific message that was supposed to be given today, on the first Sunday after Easter every year. He asked that a feast of divine mercy be established. Listen to this short paragraph. "My daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire that this feast of mercy be a refuge and a shelter for all souls, and especially for poor sinners. That on that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I will pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the font of mercy on that day. The souls that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and their punishment. On that day, all the divine floodgates through which grace flows will be opened wide. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though his sins be like scarlet. My mercy is so great that no mind, be it of man or of angel, will be able to fathom it throughout all of eternity. Everything that exists has come forth from the depths of my most tender mercy. Every soul in its relation to me will contemplate love and mercy throughout eternity. The feast of mercy emerged from my very depths of tenderness. It is my desire that it be a solemnity celebrated on the first Sunday after Easter, and that mankind will not have peace until it turns to the font of my mercy." From St. Faustina's diary. "Today, this first Sunday of Easter, a grace, a special privilege that's open on this day throughout the entire year. This is the day where God's heart is most tender, where he removes every obstacle. If you see the story of salvation history, how God again and again and again keeps trying to break through to people, I love you, just come back to me. And now, in a way that's there's nothing held back today, come to my mercy. Come receive my mercy." I don't know if you were able to attend any of the liturgies for Holy Week this past week, But I am telling you, there is something extremely special going on here at Blessed Sacrament in our parish. I've never experienced it anywhere else. It was the most fruitful Holy Week, the most fruitful Easter I've ever been a part of. There's truly something at work here. And I've heard so for so many different people. God has something going on. The Holy Spirit's at work right now. But what I've experienced again and again and again in different ways and different people I've met or talked to, or even hearing it expressed in confession in different ways, is people who say, "Father, I know there's something more out there. I know I'm called to know God's love. I know I'm striving to do these things, but I'm not there yet, and I can't seem to bridge that gap." I've heard that again and again, especially in the last several months. Again, I believe it's God tilling that soil in our souls. What is that gap? What is that? The people who have that desire, "I want something more. I'm not there, but I know it's there. I know, I don't know what it looks like, but I know it's, I'm supposed to have it, and I don't, and I want it." So how do you bridge that gap? That gap can only be bridged through trust. And really, this image of divine mercy, this message of divine mercy, is a message of trust. Do you trust God enough to tell him of your weakness, to tell him of your suffering, to tell him of your sorrow, to tell him that you don't feel close to him, but you want to? That takes trust. And if you look at the image of divine mercy, this is the image that St. Faustina had commissioned to express the divine mercy of God. His heart shining forth with blue and red rays. Blood and water which flowed from the cross, from his heart, of baptism and of the Eucharist. Rays of mercy. But this image, the words across the bottom that he told her specifically, these are the words I want you to put on that image. "Jesus, I trust in you." If you want to bridge that gap from like the glass ceiling of, "I know there's something going on in my faith. I know that God is at work, but I can't bridge the gap." How do you do that? You do it through trust. You do it through trust. "Okay, Father, you convinced me. I want to trust more. How do I do that?" It's a good question. How do you grow in trust? By trusting. Whatever little trust you have, employ that. I recently read that God rewards those who trust him with another opportunity to trust him. Think of Peter in the boat. He's crossing the Sea of Galilee. He sees Jesus walking across. They're all scared to death. There's a storm. His first act of trust is to believe that's actually Jesus, that Jesus cares enough to be walking along. First act of trust. Second act of trust. "Okay, Peter, step out of the boat. If you believe it's me, if you trust that it's me, step out of the boat. Get out." He does that. "All right, Peter, you're out of the boat. Now walk to me." He does that. And then he starts sinking. And he has to trust Jesus again. "Lord, save me. I'm drowning." Each time there's another act of trust that's entrusted to Peter as a reward for trusting him. But there's something even more. And I just read this recently in St. Faustina's diary. How do you grow in trust? Through praise and thanksgiving. I wouldn't necessarily make that connection until I heard that from St. Faustina. And then I started looking for it in other saints. I started looking for it in the Psalms. Read the Psalms. The vast majority of the Psalms from King David are Psalms about trust and Psalms about thanksgiving. "I give thanks to you, O Lord, for you have blessed me. Let's praise the Lord for his bountiful mercy." So on and so on. Again and again and again, King David he's writing these psalms, these prayers of trust and of thanksgiving. So I started asking myself, I started examining my own prayer over these last several months or years. How much of my actual prayer time, of my time spent with God, is spent thanking him or praising him? "Lord, I praise you. Lord, I bless your name. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of whatever it might happen to be." And I realized it was very little. Most of my prayer time was spent asking for stuff or just simply thinking. And so I made a conscious decision to start incorporating praise and thanksgiving into my prayer more. And I'm telling you, it's made a difference in my trust of God. Because you can trust somebody, it's much easier to trust somebody if you know they're already want what's good for you, want what's best for you. If you can see all the things, how do you trust your parents? Because when you were a baby, they changed your diaper and they fed you. You know they want what's best for you. How do you trust God when you see he's blessed you again and again and again? Then you praise him for it. That opens the gate of trust. That bridges that gap, that arc between where I know I am right now and what I know I should be or what I want, what I desire. You bridge that trust, that gap with trust. And especially on this day of divine mercy, to ask specifically for that grace. Lord, help me to trust you more. To praise him, to thank him. To realize that what's offered today is basically through the sacraments of confession and the Eucharist, it's the same analogous sort of grace that only is offered in baptism. That is unheard of. Brothers and sisters, that's unheard of. The same kind of mercy that we receive in baptism, the greatest of the first of the sacraments, is offered today when those floodgates are burst open. Please, please take advantage of that mercy. Even if the only thing you do is say, Lord, have mercy on me. Even if the only thing you do is just make one small act of trust or say, Lord, if you want me, you have to come find me. Make that your prayer. He will answer it. Finally, this image of the rays of light bursting forth from the Lord's Sacred Heart. How do we do that practically at Blessed Sacrament? Through a little room just on the other side of the sacristy, the Adoration Chapel. The monstrance is there. Jesus is there constantly waiting. He's waiting and yearning for you. And I love the image of a monstrance where the rays of light shine forth just like the merciful heart of our Lord. If you want to grow in trust and in mercy, and if you want to bridge that gap, spend some time with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. This last week, Father Yurok and I have invited everyone to start praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet as a way to, for the specific intention of being able to sign up 50 more adorers. If you don't have an hour of adoration once a week, I beg you to encourage, I encourage you to consider taking one. And believe me, I get it. You're busy. There's a lot of stuff going on in life. You've got kids and sports and so on and so on. And 3 o'clock in the morning doesn't seem particularly appealing. Or 8 o'clock in the afternoon or 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever it might happen to be. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it's open and available. Take advantage of it. And if you find yourself trying to rationalize all these various reasons why you can't do it, those are excuses. Cut them aside. Ask God specifically, Lord, do you want me to do this? And then if he says yes, have the trust to step out of the boat. I will promise you, you have my personal guarantee that it will make a difference in your prayer life. It will make a difference in your life as a whole. And you will grow to look forward to that hour more than any hour throughout the whole rest of the week. Brothers and sisters, on this day of divine mercy, let's approach that sacred, the divine and merciful heart of our Lord and grow in our trust of him. Jesus, I trust in you.